side, the times that I've been the most spiritually vibrant, by my own admission, by the admission of my accountability partners, my wife, have been when I can track that I've been doing these spiritual disciplines and really been faithful in forming my life around God's Word. So, first off, let's look at why we read God's Word. So we're going to take a very general approach, a look at God's Word in its whole, its entirety, and then based on Psalm 19, so you want to turn there. Based on Psalm 19, we're going to look at God's Word and what it does for us, and then we'll look at how to read the Bible, how to read God's Word. Second half, once again, being very practical. First half, being kind of topical. So if you're turning to Psalm 19, we'll go ahead and read together. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and, like a strong man, runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. So let's pause right there. I think what we just read, the language of creation, the language of Genesis 1, is just scattered over this whole section. And this is David writing the psalm. Kind of imagine in your head the sunrise. Satan for tempting him with bread. It is written that man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word, or every word in the Word of God. And these are the things that sustain us. These are the things that nourish our souls, nourish our minds, our hearts, and our desires. But there is true everlasting life in this book. So in John 12:48, this is the responsibility of Christians and non-Christians. Jesus says that we will be, and they will be judged by the very words that he speaks to them. That's our scripture. The very words in scripture are what we will be judged by at the end of the age. It's a double-edged sword. Hebrews, the word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. We have the flip side, it gives us life. On the other side, we will be held accountable to it. So if we're not reading it, then how will we know, how will we judge? We have Bibles, maybe multiple Bibles on our shelves at home. Maybe they look pretty, and they're heirlooms maybe, and we don't want to touch on Grandpa's Bible, but the best Bible is the one that you read. If we have all these Bibles at home and we are not reading them, how guilty will we be in front of the Lord? Of course, we'll be covered in Jesus' righteousness and forgiveness, but think of all the wonderful things we could have done in this world had we just cracked open that Bible. So, here's a word of encouragement. Reading God's Word is a supernatural experience. We're not alone when we crack open the Bible. The God of the universe is opening our eyes. He is opening our hearts to his word. And we are communing with God when we read the Bible. This isn't just another novel, another book. I personally don't like reading. It takes a lot for me to actually like a book. I know a lot of us men aren't great readers. I'd rather, like I said, get a nice book that looks pretty on the shelf or on the desk, and makes it look like I read that book. But it's really just an ornament. But there's something different about the scriptures, because it's not just here to entertain my mind, but it's here to heal my heart. And in my past, in my growing up in the church, there's always been one or two verses that maybe I learned in Sunday school that have kept me going in life. There were times where I really hated myself. There were times where I really despised who I was. I went through some things I probably not appropriate to share here, but I really didn't like who God made me. And I felt defeated. I felt like I was just a scum of the earth, basically. And I tried to do things to punish myself. And I felt like that was the righteousness of God. I'm punishing myself for it, so he doesn't have to. And that was wrong thinking. But the Lord tells us in 1 Corinthians that we will not be tempted beyond what we can bear, and that in our temptation, he will make a way for us to stand up underneath it. And everything you do, do all for the glory of God. Those two verses, whether you eat or drink, do all for the glory of God. Those two verses kept me alive. So, I'm telling you, all these great things happen when we read God's word. That treasure, pure joy of life, and enjoyment of life, communion with God, all these things happen when you read the Bible. And I've been here, but some of you might be thinking right now, that's not been my experience. I open it up, and I'm bored. I just see words, it feels like a chore to me, something to mark off the list. And like I said, I get that, I've been there. There have been times in my life where my taste buds for the word have been non-existent. And I'm guessing some of you, maybe many of you today, are right there with me. hard to conceive for some of us, and I, you know, living like a little bit above the poverty line right now, like millions of dollars would be really nice. You know, maybe I go work a little bit less, still work, but have more time with my family. No, the scripture is more valuable than millions of dollars. And so I remember when, here's an analogy. I remember when I was fat, or don't say anything, Trevor, like more fat than I am now, before I went to military training, and I hated exercise. Like, I despised everything, running, lifting weights, anything that made me breathe harder than, like, opening a tub of ice cream. You know, like that was my life. But when I really wanted to show Brooke, after I signed the dotted line, like, yeah, I'm going to go do this, I'm going to be away from my newborn child and my wife, and leave her by herself for 9 months, I really wanted to show her how seriously I was with that, and how seriously I'm taking our family. I had to prepare for the military. I had to not fail out. I had to not get hurt because I was out of shape. I had to pass my run, my push-ups, all that stuff. And I had to actually go to the gym. You know, I paid for the subscription, membership. And then I drove past a Starbucks every morning to the gym. And that temptation was there. If I just go there and sit in Starbucks and drink coffee for an hour and come back, you know, it's warm in there, I'm drinking a hot drink, and maybe I can do something that makes me sweat, I can come back, and Brooke won't be satisfied. You know, I'm all sweaty, it looks like I worked out, but I just sat and enjoyed coffee. I never did that, by the way. But the temptation was there every morning. So my options were what? One, lie and fail my PT test and fail my family, or two, just go through with it, just go do it. And fast forward to today, I love working out. You can't necessarily see it with my National Guard chin, but I love running 5 miles. We did that this week, Trevor, and I'm still a little sore from it. Burning out my triceps, doing squats, all those things that I thought I hated. You know, I've learned to love them, and not just for what they do to my body, but because of the what I can give, like, to the country, to my state, and to my family. So once you begin to feast on something, or practice something, doing it every day and worshiping the Lord, you will see those desires begin to grow. It took me at least a year. 9 months of, like, doing it every single day, being forced to do it, or getting reprimanded by my drill sergeants, and then at least 4 months before I shift. But the takeaway is not just to like, force yourself to do it, do those 10 reps, check it off the list and be done, and eventually you'll like it. You know, it shouldn't be a surprise that if you don't desire the things of God, or you won't desire the things of God if you've been nibbling at the table of this world. If you've been on your phone first thing in the morning, you wake up, you check it, you check your mail, you check Facebook. If you, on your drive to work, you're listening to some music, or your mind is just wandering, or you're getting angry at the driver in front of you. Maybe at lunch, you're putting on a episode of The Office because you got that half hour, 45 minutes. When you drive home, you know, maybe you watch TV at home before you go to bed. How many times did you just waste spending quality time with the Lord? No wonder you're not hungry for it. No wonder I'm not hungry for it. So I do those things. I do those things daily, especially because I work at, I have to drive, start driving at 4:45 in the morning. It's earlier than I've ever done. It's not that bad, but I have an excuse. I get home at 2 o'clock and I'm tired. Maybe I should just do something to veg out. But if we fill ourselves with the Word, and if we're diligent with that, then we will notice this desire for the trivial start to decrease in our lives. It's kind of this cool balance thing. So some of you may read the Word diligently, but don't necessarily experience the things that Psalms 19 is promising. And it's not just a matter of reading God's Word, but it's also how you read God's Word. So we're going to talk now about Bible reading versus Bible study. Here's the more practical side of it. So if Bible reading is the snacking on God's Word, Bible study is the sit-down meal with God's Word. And both are important. I'm not going to poo-poo one or the other, but it might sound like it because Bible reading is a little more simpler and we'll spend less time talking about it, but it's equally as important. So Bible reading is your devotional during lunch. You can even fast during lunch. You know, it's not talking about the 24-hour one, but if you fast during that lunch and you eat breakfast, don't take a lunch and spend that 30 minutes in, at the lunchroom table reading your scripture, reading the word, praying, going into your car and being alone with God, you know, that hunger will remind you how much tastier the Lord is than the food that you brought with you that day. Listen to the scripture on audiobook or on podcasts or on the little book apps when you're on your walks or morning commute. Read for 5 minutes before you leave for work, 5 minutes, or before bed. There was something I wanted to get today for up on the screen, but I didn't have the time to pull it up. Crossway, the people who did the ESV translation, they did a study about how long it takes the average person to read a book of the Bible, every single book of the Bible, and different kinds of things you can be able to give up in order to read a book of the Bible at a time. 1 John takes about 10 minutes. Average reader. That includes the slow readers like me. 2 John is literally 2 minutes. It's not even like half a page. Like, if you have 5 minutes in your day, you can read books of the Bible. And the kind of power that God will give in your life because of that, because of consistently filling your mind with the scripture and filling your mind with his word, it's going to change your life. So, that's devotional material. Now, this is part of your worship. This is part of what it means to be worshiping every single day. This is why we read scripture in the middle of worship. Sometimes I'd like to do that. This is anything that captivates your imagination, captivates your desires, whatever aligns your life to God and God's word. So I put a couple resources in there. There's the Reader's Bible. I think I have it in my bag. I'll have to show you. They took out all the verse numbers, all the chapter numbers, and made it look like a novel. They made it so there's not clutter around the sides. The normal Bible looks like a dictionary, where you reference the book, you know, where you find things. It can sometimes be hard on our eyes. So in order to take out that slowing mechanism, they have a Reader's Bible where you can just, it's easy on the eyes, it just flows, you never know what verse or what chapter you're stopping at, so you don't have those temptations. Well, I read a chapter, I'm done for today. Like, you can keep going and just get the whole story. I found a lot of excitement through reading through a Reader's Bible. There's the Illuminated Bible, that's the Christian Standard Bible and the English Standard Version. What they do is they have beautiful art on it, you know, on each of the pages and stuff, and things that just kind of will spark your mind, spark your imagination, and get you to think more creatively about scripture and see things in a different light. It's also got a journaling notes on the side. There's the Story. We have one copy of that. I think that's in my bag also. One copy of the Story, and they took out some scripture, but leaves like half the Bible, so it tells the story from the front to the beginning. That's not some of the genealogies, but makes it so you can see the story. It's only scripture, they don't add anything else, but they took out some so that you can see the essential story that goes from the beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation. And this would be more for a devotional thing, not necessarily for Bible study. But you get to see kind of the action, the history, the drama in scripture. There's the New Living Translation. It's kind of a contemporary English one. I like to use that for my devotions because it's easy to understand. You can read through and you can get different insights than you would normally with the New King James or the English Standard. Those daily breads are awesome. I also put in your notes, there's the Bible TV miniseries. Brooke and I watched that, I think, a couple times over. And they're great. They're not like the Noah movie that came out or those ones that are really twisted the scriptures. These ones try and stay true to the scriptures and try and give a good reenactment of what happened. And they're great productions. You know, one thing that Christian media lacks is really high quality movies and really high quality things. So, and this was, I think this was done by the History Channel, but it's a really great resource and it really helps you kind of think and see through the Old Testament and Jesus' life also. So let's go into Bible study. Now, Bible study, we're going to use an acronym, which I will get to a little later. Now, I'm sure you've all been in a couple Bible studies in your life. this passage mean to me? What does it mean to you? And you kind of go around and you all kind of share. You know, one example, you know, say you're in Genesis 22, where Abraham is offering to sacrifice his son. God provides a ram, and the Lord is honored in both Abraham and his faith. So the leaders ask him, Bob, you know, what do you think you should do with this? How does this passage mean to you? And Bob says, well, I think this passage tells me that I need to go hiking with my son. Like Abraham went hiking with his son. Okay, Bob. That's fine. All right, what about you, Joe? And Joe said, well, I think this passage says it's okay to sacrifice animals. Therefore, no one should be a vegetarian. And with that, his wife, Mary, who happens to be a vegetarian, turns to him and says, well, that's not what this passage means to me, Joe. Maybe this passage means that I need to sacrifice you. And it's kind of funny, but you know, that kind of mentality, that kind of question, what does this passage mean to you and mean to me, often leads to everyone sharing what they don't know about the Bible. This is not, I don't care what the Bible means to me or this passage means to me or means to you. I care what it meant by the Holy Spirit, what the author meant in that day to that people. How it applies is different. Yes, you're right. Every passage will have a different application in your life and mine, in this year of my life and next year of my life. But our first job is to figure out what this passage means. And this is where the acrostic comes in, MAPS. And I took this from David Platt. He's a Southern Baptist preacher. He's a great guy, a brilliant teacher, but he made this acrostic. And it begins with meditate and memorize. Meditate and memorize. I should preface this with this acronym MAP, or acrostic MAPS, is meant to remind you that this is our map into the spoil, the buried treasure within Scripture. So when you think of that for your Bible study, MAPS, this is how we get to that buried treasure in Scripture. Meditate and memorize. So in Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. And in Deuteronomy 6 through 9, and these words that I command you shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit at your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do according to what is written in it. For when you make your way prosperous, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So, in the Scripture, every time we see people talk about reading the Scripture, they use the word meditate. And our first thought is this kind of how, not what does it mean to me, but what is going on here? The who, what, when, where, why. I don't know if I put those in or if I put blanks. It should be who, what, when, where, why, and how of this passage. These are questions you can ask. You know, who is writing this? Who is this written to? You know, what's going on? When was this written? Where is this taking place? You know, why is this going on? And in Revelation, it's important to know that John, the Apostle John, wrote this in exile, written for the Christians who were being persecuted by Rome. You know, we see Revelation being a book of hope, a book of this is our future hope, this is our future glory. Even though things are horrible now, even though we're dying and suffering and being persecuted and martyred, this is our eternal hope. That will put to light everything we read in Revelation. So, I put some questions there. There should be four. It says, what does this passage teach about blank? After you've kind of looked at the who, what, when, where, why, how in your Scripture, and you can access that with commentaries, with Google, even there's some good What does this passage teach about God? What does this passage teach about God? What does this passage teach about us? What does this passage teach about Jesus? And what does this passage teach about following him? So those four questions, just asking those and really thinking about that passage and meditating on that, you will find great spoil. So now let's go to meditate, memorize. So this is really the best way to meditate because you're rehearsing it over and over in your mind, in your heart. And I'll try and speak through the rest of this. We're getting pretty close. You're storing that scripture in your mind. Psalm 1, prosper in everything you do. I was just read. So I know everyone has different abilities to memorize. And I talked with Jim when he was coming, and I was encouraging him to memorize a passage. He's like, I can't memorize the recipe that I'm making for dinner. Like, how am I supposed to memorize, you know, a verse of the Bible? Let alone, like, chapters or even books. You know, like, that seems like something that it's hard to fathom sometimes. But, you know, we'll put it this way. I bet if I promise in the next 24 hours to give you $1,000 for every verse you memorize and you recite to me, you know, you could at least name a few. You know, John 11:35, Jesus wept. A thousand G's right there. You know, but then, you know, so we see that in ourselves, we kind of laugh, but deep down, do we value money more? Or do we value communion with God? So, let's go on to apply. There's three questions that you can ask yourself. Now that we've looked at, and we've meditated, we've memorized, we've looked at some verses to memorize, maybe worked on some short chapters. I think I put some short chapters in your notes also. Psalm 1, John, 1 John 1, and James 3, there's a little chunk there. Those are, Psalm 117, those are small ones to get started. Now we work on the apply. How does this passage, with everything that it teaches, apply to our lives today? And three questions you can ask yourself is, how does this affect my head, which is my thoughts? How does this affect my heart, or my desires? And then how does this affect my hands? Head, heart, hands. Easy, head, heart, hands. Thoughts, desires, actions. You know, what should I be doing based on this passage? What should I not be doing based on this passage? What should I prioritize in my life for my desires? What should I work on loving more and putting in the forefront of my mind? And what shouldn't I also? Let's go on to pray. We'll touch more on this next week about this acronym. But, you know, how should I praise God according to his word? How should I repent according to his word? You know, maybe this also kind of goes along with the action, the do and don't. Like, if I see something in his word that really digs deep on my life, you know, it's okay to pray the scripture back. You know, that's something that we'll talk about next week. But it's an interesting thing, is praying scripture back to God and putting yourself kind of in those shoes as a way to express how I feel. We'll talk more next week about that. And then how do I ask according to his word? Like in the Proverbs, you know, it says, I don't want to be a fool. I want to live wise. I want my life to matter. If I'm reading Proverbs once a day, like we talked about last week, I'm memorizing one proverb a day. You know, Lord, help me to... Iron sharpens iron, man sharpens another. Lord, help me to sharpen my friends. Don't let me be this ineffective in honing my friends and making them better. Lord, let them be effective in sharpening me. Lord, let my wife and I sharpen each other, my son. Let me be a good father, not withholding discipline from him, but sparing him and sparing judgment on him, but disciplining him, the discipline he needs to grow. So, the last one, how do I yield to his word? The things that, so pray. Praise, repent, ask, yield when you're praying. And we'll get more on that later, so you'll have to keep these notes and maybe look over this week. So share. Here's the most important one, because the word is not meant to stop in us. God did not give us the scripture just to fix our lives and to go about our day, you know, unchanged. We have to share these words. We have to share the life-giving power that the Lord has given us. walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Basically, everything you do, all day long, no matter where you are, who's around you, you are to remember and recite and talk about these things the Lord is teaching you. So something as simple as, you're at work and you say, hey, God taught me this today, and sharing with a coworker. Or I read this in my Bible study or my Bible reading this morning, this little passage. I thought it was really interesting, maybe the story in Daily Bread. I really relate to this person who wrote this devotional. Or I'm trying to memorize this verse. Could you hand them the Bible? Hey, could you make sure I get these words right? You know, even with your Christian buddies, your accountability partners, and even non-Christians, hey, can you do me a favor? I'm trying to memorize this. And this becomes a witnessing opportunity. This becomes an opportunity for you to be sharing what the Lord is doing in your life every single day, multiple times a day. Before you leave, at lunch with your coworkers, when you get back with your family. We waste so much time small talking and talking about trivial things. It shows where our heart really is. We don't care about them enough to share the gospel. We don't care about them enough to sharpen them. For once, let's talk about something that really matters, that has eternal impact. That's speaking God's word with them. So practically, maps. Meditate, memorize, apply, pray, and share. Bible reading, your devotional material, doing that on a consistent basis, multiple times a day. I encourage you to write your thoughts down. I can also point to times in my life where, and this is just me,